say it.
Where's this fire extinguisher? Oh.
See?
It's just to my left.
Oh, you don't need that. All right. Ready? All right. I'm going to gavel us in, call order our meeting, and we have a quorum today, which is great. I'm going to now turn it over to Councillor Stacy to provide a safety briefing for the February 14th, 2019 Metro Council meeting, and happy Valentine's Day, everybody.
Happy Valentine's Day to you, Madam President. Please note that we're on the
third floor of our building. In the event of a fire or fire alarm, please exit through these doors, out the nearest door over there, and down the stairs into the plaza by the cafe table 6 to assemble there. The defibrillator is located on the right wall of the steps as you go down to the Grand Avenue entrance to the building. And in the event of a medical or fire emergency, please call 911 and notify the security agent at our front desk. Finally, the nearest fire extinguisher is to my left on the wall behind the dais over here. Back to you, Madam President.
Thank you. Much appreciated. It is now time on our agenda for public communication. If anyone wishes to testify on an item that is not on today's agenda, now would be the time to do so. If anyone wishes to testify on an item that is on today's agenda, I will call you up once that item is being considered. For all testimony, please fill out one of these blue testimony cards and return it to the clerk, and we can get it to me. And I will call up the one and only blue name that I have today, blue card name, and that's Ron Swar. You'll have 3 minutes on the clock, and thank you for being here today.
Last Thursday, I talked about some of our transportation needs. I gave you this letter from that ODOT had circulated internally, and that was regarding a matter that I had talked to the Oregon Transportation Commission about. Because of my experience in seismic upgrade and what I've researched on seismic danger on the West Coast, a few years ago, ODOT was talking about perhaps up to $5 billion for seismic upgrades. And in the email I got, it said they thought now that they could reduce that expenditure 80 to 90%. And this letter was an internal communication from Matt Garrett, where he was directing the Region 7 to have a rapid response strategy and to focus on certain areas. So what I'm saying is we can really bring costs down from what some people believe we need. And specifically, I want to bring up the I-5 bridge replacement. This is an idea pushed through the Washington legislature. Mr. Ed Barnes and a few others got a resolution Mr. Barnes was very disruptive in Clark County Commission meetings. If I had chaired, I would have had him removed. He was extremely disruptive. Anyway, they got through a resolution for replacement of the I-5 bridge. Now, this is much bigger than it sounds like. There's no way that bridge could be replaced without extensive reconstruction of the on and off ramps on the Washington side. So it's really about double the project. But what I want to get into is the Oregon impact. If that idea were to go ahead, I-5 would just become totally crowded because, as the projections show, we have a huge population increase headed our way. I've heard of a 75% freight increase. There's no way that I-5 could handle that added traffic. So that leads into a very expensive proposition then of what you would do with I-5 if this replacement bridge project would go ahead. I think it would be a $15 to $20 billion project. Reconstructing I-5 would be something like Seattle's version of it, be very expensive. So last time I talked about how Washington County study had advanced what they call a Northern Connector as a Western route, very well supported by the data, and was supported by the Port of Portland, too, that said that Washington County economy needed more routes to the ports. It's a very cost-effective solution. It's something Metro should support, and now your former colleague Harrington is out there, so I hope that's something that supports much cheaper than this other alternative that your colleagues are pushing. Thank you.
Thank you for your testimony here today, and appreciate the information. All right, we're going to move on to our one resolution of the day, resolution number 19-4964, for the purpose of establishing and confirming appointments to the Region Transportation Funding Task Force. I'm going to ask Andy Shaw and Tyler Frisbee, Tyler, to come up. Tyler is our main project manager for this, and your title now is?
I don't remember either. Transportation policy and federal affairs policy person?
There you go.
Something like that.
On the fly. Good job.
Hard for the public interest.
Welcome, Tyler, and walk us through the creation of this task force. Thanks.
Thank you so much, Council. Happy Valentine's Day and Oregon birthday.
Yes.
So this is our third chance time coming to you in 4 weeks. I know that you just are waiting for bated breath to know when we're coming back to you. Don't worry, soon. You met on the 24th and discussed the direction and principles you wanted us to consider, or you wanted the task force to consider in developing a transportation measure. You met on the 31st and refined that direction and also looked at two maps that you wanted to consider as the foundation for discussion about where to invest as part of a measure. And you approved at that meeting the charge for the task force, which obviously is closely related to our conversation today. And we are here coming back to you today on the 14th to talk about the task force members themselves. That task force is appointed by President Peterson. And so she is here today seeking confirmation to go forward and appoint those members. And then we are tentatively proposing that the task force first meeting would be the 27th, and we will come back to you to talk about their work in early April and then again in early May. So the resolution in front of you today confirms the appointment and the co-chairs and asks the task force to begin the work once they are appointed by the Metro Council President to begin their work based on the Council direction and charge. And the charge you gave them last time was that they are advising the Metro Council on the development of a transportation investment measure, that they are working from existing policy. And as you remember, a lot of your policy conversation was around four major policy documents that you've already approved. The Climate Smart Communities Strategy, the Regional Transportation Plan, the Strategic Plan to Advance Racial Equity, and the 2040 Vision. You said at that time you wanted the task force to be an embodiment of the big tent coalition concept. You wanted it to have elected leaders, you wanted it to have business leaders, you wanted it to have community leaders from across the region. You wanted them to have experience in getting around our region in all sorts of different ways, and you wanted them to have different needs and perspectives that they were bringing to the table. You also wanted to make sure that in the development of the task force, we were living up to our own racial equity commitments. And we talked a lot about the role of this task force. They are advising the council, so they are giving you suggestions, which you will then, you may take into consideration, but you may change those recommendations as necessary when you choose to take action. They will also be complemented by a lot of community and partner engagement. So this task force, we think, is a really great group of people, but obviously 32 people will never encompass all the voices and needs and opinions of this region. And it's particularly important that we work closely with a lot of our culturally specific community organizations to make sure that their voices are being heard and that the voices of anyone who experiences our transportation system, which, guess what, is everyone, that all those voices are being heard and brought into this process. And so we talked about, you know, there's this sort of triangle with Metro Council as the decision makers, being informed and advised by the task force, being informed by the community and partner engagement, and then also you see being advised by JPACT down underneath the community and partner engagement work. There are, how many, 6 phases of the task force work. And at the end of each of these phases, obviously, their recommendations will come forward to the council for you to act and refine. So in the spring, we're going to be talking a lot about where investment will be focused, what places in our region need the most investment to transform the way people get around. In the summer, we'll be talking about region-wide programs. One of the things that you discussed in your principle-setting conversation was the need for sort of region-wide investment outside of the corridors to do more programmatic work, and the task force will be considering what that could look like in the summer. In the fall, we start to talk about how do those corridors turn into projects, what projects make up the impacts we're going to see on those corridors. And around that time, they'll start to consider potential sets of packages that they would recommend you consider. In the winter of 2020, there will also be conversation around a revenue mechanism, as well as accountability and oversight mechanisms. And then in May of 2020, they'll have you will choose to act and choose whether or not to refer a measure, and they will advise you as part of that process as well. So I anticipate that there will be many check-ins in each of these phases with the council, but there will certainly be council action at sort of the end of each of these phases as you choose whether to receive those recommendations fully or refine them further. Before we get to next steps, I want to talk a little bit about the makeup of the task force. What we heard from you, as I said, is you really wanted to reflect that big tent, and you wanted to capture as many voices and as many perspectives as possible in the development of the task force. You also said you wanted roughly proportional population representation. For example, the representatives on the task force from Clackamas are roughly proportional to Clackamas's population in the region. It's always a little bit give or take as you're managing all these, but we came pretty darn close. You said you wanted to have a majority of people who identify as women serving on the task force, and you wanted to make sure that people of color were very strongly represented on the task force. So we have worked hard to do that. People on this task force get around our region in all ways. We have folks who don't own cars and get around mostly on our transit system or biking or walking. We have people who get around almost entirely in the single occupancy vehicle. We have people who have worked in transportation for decades. We have people who come to this from a perspective based in social justice work or based in economic development work. So they are going to bring a lot of different perspectives, and we think that's really healthy, and we think hopefully that is something that you guys are excited about as well. Should you choose to approve President Peterson's confirmation today, we will work to finalize their interest in participating and hopefully begin service on the 27th of February. They've got a whole bunch of meetings in the first couple weeks as they start to have those conversations around where should we focus corridor investment. And then we'll come back to you with an update in April and council action based on their recommendations in May. So with that, I am happy to take any questions about the process that went through to this task force or any feedback. One thing I forgot to say that I think is really important is we heard clearly from all of you over the last 3 weeks that you want to make sure all these members are educated on everything from our transportation plan to our DEI strategy to the 2040 vision. We are working as hard as we can to figure out a way to do that that is not essentially a graduate course in Metro. So that is absolutely part of what we heard clearly from you and what we will be working to do. Any questions?
Councillor Craddock and then Councillor Chase.
Thank you. So what are the plans to, I think this is a superb group of people and I think you've done a really nice job figuring that out because obviously there's a lot of people in this region that would be excellent on this committee and how do you figure out who they should be. So I'm very supportive of the group of people that you have, Council President Peterson is recommending. The question, though, is, so this group will be where you'll be working with this group. So how will you keep the public informed and engaged in this as we move forward? And so they are feeling like they're part of this and have opportunities to give input.
Yeah, that's a wonderful question. At the most basic level, I think one of the some of the policy direction we heard from you, and I think it was Councillor Lewis who put forward an amendment saying she wanted to make sure there was clear transparency about this task force and about the decision-making process by council throughout the development of a potential ballot measure. We are excited to say we have a website up already with the council direction and the materials that you have already approved on that website as well as this resolution today. We're working to add more materials and information to that website. So we'll be making sure that that's accessible. But the bigger picture is there's a broad engagement plan that we are in the process of developing for this measure that's going to run the gamut from supporting community groups' capacity to reach out to their members and get feedback on certain questions to trying to use online engagement and communication to get sort of off-the-cuff responses from people, whether it's about small questions or big-picture outcomes. There will be, I think, a lot of effort to create a narrative and a campaign, a narrative around the communications, helping people understand what do we need in our region and why do we need it. So there will be a broad engagement plan, and we're happy to come in and talk to you about that, although not right now because we're still developing it.
Thank you.
Councillor Chase?
My question is really around our
engagement on communities of color and culturally specific communities, and I just want to start with thanking you for all the work you're doing, all the communication that you're providing, the committee in the task force names, I think really do a great job of representing a broad range of interests around this incredibly complex issue. One of the things I notice on this, and this is a question there where some of this may still be getting developed, and so it's part comment, part question. But if there are some components of this you can kind of expand on, that would be helpful. And that is really around this issue of us meaningfully engaging culturally specific communities in this work that we're doing. And one of the things that, happens often in the world of engagement is that the folks who are really spent their lives steeped in these issues sit around the table and maybe even are backed by well-funded organizations that have the ability to keep their time committed to this work. And so when we just invite communities to the table and, and say, hey, we're glad you can participate, it's not as meaningful because we're not helping provide the opportunity and the capacity for them to be fully engaged. I'm interested in what, and a little more on how we might engage some of the culturally specific communities to really have the capacity to engage and the knowledge to have the background and education that you referenced to be engaged in and provide us the kind of input that we need.
Yeah, that's a really excellent question, and it's one I think that we've struggled with because we've heard clearly how important it is to this council and how important it is to a lot the culturally specific community groups that we've worked with. And I would start from saying the plus is we've done 4 years of engagement throughout the RTP process, 19,000 communications with individual people, much of that very specifically focused on people of color and communities of color. So we have a strong base to build from that. We know the outcomes that are most, or the investments that are most important for improving outcomes for people of color, and we know the work we need to do. And we're building on that. We've had, we've been sort of hosting these dinners and get-togethers with leaders of culturally specific community groups to talk to them and say, look, how do you want to be involved? What decisions are really important to you? Where do you have the capacity to be involved? Where do you want more capacity? And so we're working with them to try to understand what we can do that is going to let them engage the way they want to engage. And I'm happy to talk to you more as that develops.
Any other questions? Yeah, sorry.
Thank you, Tyler and Andy and all of Metro for this. So today, once we approve the Transportation Funding Task Force, you'll begin the process of contacting and solidifying their participation. When do we expect to have the finalized participation confirmation? How confident do you feel that that's ready, that most of these people are ready to approve on receipt?
I'm pretty confident. We did. We've had conversations with most of these people saying, this is the role, you know, President Peterson is interested in putting you forward for this. Is that something that you would be comfortable with? Do you feel equipped to participate? We didn't want anyone to sort of see their name on a list in a Metro Council resolution for the first time and be like, what's this transportation measure?
Yeah.
We obviously didn't want to formalize anything until council took formal action. But I think that there is so much interest in this work overall and an acknowledgement that this sort of broad-based task force is the way to move forward that I anticipate. I don't anticipate that anyone's going to say no. How about
yes,
that?
Yes, I anticipate that as well. It's obviously exciting that so many leaders across the region recognize how momentous this occasion is for us to get the region moving. Is that no? Okay,
let's get moving.
I really want to echo Councillor Chase's statement. I know that we're going to build off of the framework of RTP and the knowledge that we've built and really foster the relationships that we have with community-based organizations. And I know that this is not like a funding measure, it's different from creating a master strategic plan like RTP or the regional waste plan. But I would really encourage us to find ways to distribute influence and opportunities to influence the transportation package with models like the Equity Work Group or finding other things to get younger people, young people of color, people that are transit dependent that might not have the acumen or the capacity to serve on a transportation task force to have the opportunity to still shape what the future of the region looks like. I think that that's a critical part of our mobility justice agenda. So I just put that forward. I know we've had conversations about this before our meeting today. And thank you so much for your work.
Councilor Lewis.
Yeah, I guess today, Councilor Gonzalez and I have decided today is the tipping point, which we can say we've been here for 6 weeks. We were saying 5 weeks. But that's just an incredible amount of work that you and your department and new department have done to help place us in a place where we have all the tools that we need to be here today and what's kind of the beginning of a large body of work. One, thank you for all of that and all the time with us. But two, really recognizing that you said that the maps that we are starting out with are going to serve as a foundation. And I was just hoping you could speak a little bit more to the opportunity for these stakeholders and individuals to add important corridors that may be missing from those maps.
I don't think I could say it any better than what you just said. And that's been very clear from council and very clear in the work we're doing as we're trying to lay out this task force agenda. We're setting aside a lot of meetings for them to both add potential corridors for consideration, and then, of course, they will begin the process of prioritizing them. So we'll do this a couple of times. But that is, you know, we absolutely, that will be a direct question for the task force, looking at the foundation of these maps. What are there needs of your constituents that aren't reflected, that need to be added in order for them to be seen?
I figured that was your answer, but thank you.
So with an apology to the council, one name has been left off, and I need to add it on, and it's not staff's fault. It's that I forgot to make sure that this person was on the list, and that's Nate Stokes from the International Union of Operating Engineers 701. We have had many conversations with the different union membership around construction and consulting, and this was the person that was brought forward a while back, and so I just want to add that person to the list. It still gives us quite a bit of diversity on the membership of this task force, but it is a voice that needs to be at the table. So I would be remiss if we got too far down the road and we didn't have them on. So we'll make when we make the resolution, we can make the amendment. Yeah.
Right now, and then the council will confirm them in a few minutes. Is that what you're doing? You're appointing him to the task force?
I'm appointing them into the task force.
You hereby added him to the list?
Yes.
Does it need to be an amendment, right?
It's been done.
I think it's been appointed, and then it will be approved with that name.
Okay.
Yes.
Just made the nomination.
Thank you for the clarification.
The list is deemed amended.
Deemed amended. Yeah. So with that, we're now at 34, correct?
Yes.
Okay.
Make it a 35?
Do I hear?
Tyler, do we know between now and the time that we refer potentially to the public what the time commitment of these task force members is, as in how many hours do we expect them to come together, informal meetings to legislate, essentially?
Yeah, the current chart that we have is, I think, 23 meetings of about between 2 to 2.5 hours each.
Wow.
And that's over a period of, what, 18 months?
Between now and May of 2020, so over a long period. But these people are serving the public.
Yeah. I would love to find a way for us to continue to thank them for their commitment. That's a lot of time.
It is a lot of time. And it would be good to be able to thank them each in person at different meetings as we attend. So I think that'd be a great idea. All right. Any other questions for Tyler on the newly appointed list?
No questions.
I would make one observation, Madam President. I think it's timely for Councilors Gonzalez and Chase to raise the concern and the expectation that diverse voices will be heard in this process, that communities of color, low-income communities in particular, but other communities as well, will be engaged. I'm impressed with the diversity, both political, geographic, mm-hmm. ethnic, and opinion diversity that's on this task force. And that's reassuring to me. I have a diverse set of travel methods that I employ personally. On rainy days like today, I take the bus to work. On sunny, warm days, I bicycle to work. If Denny Doyle's having a State of the City in Beaverton at 7:30 in the morning, or JPACT is meeting and I have to be here at 7:15 in the morning, I drive to work. And that kind of diversity is in our transportation system and in the users that employ it. But to the specific point of folks with limited access to time and capital, low-income households and communities of color in particular, this council and this government has an established tradition and policy of doing what's necessary to ensure that those communities and their representatives have the resources to participate meaningfully and to engage their constituencies. Our letter to this task force emphasizes the task force members' responsibilities to be continuously engaged in two-way communication with their constituencies, so they're not speaking solely from the perspective of their own deep experience, but also from the perspective of the transportation users, the people that they are there to represent in part. And I'm also confident that this council will make the resources available to representatives of those communities so that they can stay engaged as this council takes on the task of absorbing and responding to the advice and recommendations of the task force to ensure that those are not only our and the task force's views, but the views of a broad spectrum of our community and people who are ready to roll up their sleeves and ensure that the future of this region is even more prosperous and efficient and safe, particularly in the transportation sector, than it has been in the last 20 years, that we remain on a trajectory of constant improvement and making the quality of life in our region for all people better. That's a great goal for this appointment process today. It's an essential goal for the content of the measure if it's going to be successful and really inspire the voters to support it. Thanks for bringing this forward today.
Awesome. Do I hear a motion?
A motion to approve Resolution 19-4964.
And a second?
Second.
It's been moved by Councillor Gonzalez and seconded by Councillor Lewis. Any further discussion on this resolution?
I have some comments I'd like to make. I've spent the better part of my 6 years to date on this council as far, and in addition to at least four prior years at the City of Tigard, working on the Southwest Corridor Plan that would give people in Tualatin and Tigard and Southwest Portland alternatives and improvements to the daily traffic jam that is I-5. But the people who live in my district, or I should say the people who sleep in my district, many of them, if not most of them, live their lives throughout the Portland metropolitan area. And so the investments that we need to solve commuting and safety issues need to be region-wide. And we need to seek regional solutions to all of these challenges, and it'll impact every part of our region. And so it's important to have this broad slate of leaders looking at those transportation challenges that we have and identifying potential solutions. And so I'm very pleased that a glimmer of a vision that I had over 10 years ago of a regional pot of money specific to our region that we can use to address regional challenges is moving this much closer to a reality.
Awesome. Thank you. Anybody else? Comments? Yep. Councillor Craddock.
Well, I just want to thank the staff because the way you have shaped this, this committee is going to be able to put a package together. This is on a bunch of projects, but it's really, I know we're going to be focusing on corridors, but it's going to really be able to make a difference in all parts of the region. And so I want to say thank you for that. And, of course, be thanking the committee because they're going to be doing the lion's share of this work as you move forward. But to make sure that this is not just a laundry list of projects, but something that really will make a difference in how we get around in this region. So thank you. And then I'll thank the committee later when I have an opportunity to meet with them.
Any other comments?
I'll say some things.
Councilor Gonzalez.
To match the hard work that you have all done, we have put together some talking points. Perhaps no part of the region outside of downtown has benefited from transportation investments more than my district, the illustrious District 4, as I call it. From the West Side MAX to the Sunset Highway, the Great West Side Trails networks to the streetscape in downtown Cornelius, my hometown, Mi Casita, the communities of the Tualatin Valley have turned transportation investments into successful communities. But there's more to do. We need to invest in TV Highway in a way that improves commutes and safety and also advances equity and accounts for and mitigates the negative effects of gentrification. I can't even begin to speak about how important that focus for me is in this transportation measure. We need to make sure our employers have access to move their products in a timely manner, and also that our region's workforce can move in a way that keeps them with their families longer during the non-work day. There's more to do, and I'm looking forward to get it done with every single one of you. Let's get moving, 2020.
And the hashtag is?
Let's get moving.
Let's get moving.
Hashtag still in progress.
Get moving 2020 is currently unused.
Oh, okay.
Awesome. Any other further comments?
Madam President.
Councilor Lewis.
Since we're speaking for our districts, the illustrious District 4 will be matched by the good people of District 2, who in all seriousness are really tired of waiting. They're really tired of waiting for investments in safe places to walk and bike, and we're sick and tired of waiting in clogged neighborhood streets that are accepting diversion off of arterials. I spend far too often telling my story of my neighborhood street in Willamette, and every neighborhood has the exact same perspective from their street, and they're, considerably concerned. The work that we are doing is timely, and we can't move fast enough to not only do the work but also involve our communities in it. And just really proud of where we've gotten to with these great community leaders, but also the framework we have in place to move forward.
Thank you. Councilor Chase?
I will, and now I feel compelled to make some comments from the spectacular District 5.
It would be fabulous, District 5.
But even though I am from District 5, I would echo the regional kind of approach that we are taking here, which is to really solve our challenges regionally to support an economy where freight can move easily around that reduces congestion. But I want, I support, and those are critical. I would also add that there is a really important public health component to this work, which is to really get rid of and to address traffic congestion such that we are able to reduce diesel exhaust as well. Diesel particulate matter is one of the most toxic air pollutants we have in our region, and for those who live particularly close to some of our more congested corridors, it's even particularly harmful. So, that is yet another reason that this work is so important.
Great. Thank you. I'll just round it out. This is the first transportation package that this region has ever put together. I'm looking down at Bob for fact checking.
I'm old enough to confirm that.
Yes. We are actually setting the culture of how this region will do transportation funding for the future, which means that we are setting the table, and I thank you for consideration of this task force and the folks on it, because that table has been set probably to a bigger degree than ever before to make sure that we are including every voice that we possibly can, and hopefully they will go and use their networks to get as much information back to us as we possibly can get, because this is not just those people, it's representation of a whole bunch of folks in the background. And my fundamental belief is that we do not build projects, we build community. And so each one of these people will be responsible for figuring out how transportation will be used to build their community out geographically, as well as reducing isolation for increasing access, for making more placemaking, making it safer, and making sure that we can get people to work. So I was brought up in this region by the best, under an assumption that we would grow the transportation system incrementally by doing about 5 miles of light rail every 5 years. And that worked when we were growing incrementally, but this region, as those who were on the campaign trail this last time heard loudly and strongly, is that people are very anxious about affordable housing in this region and transportation. And this council, prior to us, has taken on the duty, and we are taking on now the oversight of the affordable housing bond measure, which will make a dent but won't solve affordable housing. But transportation continues to grow and become a bigger issue as affordable housing becomes a bigger issue as we move people out. And since we're not growing incrementally anymore, this package cannot be an incremental step. It has to be a visionary step. And so I know that this council is up for that. I know that this task force is up for it. And I know that our staff is up for it. We have amazing people working on this project from stem to stern in this region. And I am so proud to be here and working with all of you at this time to really set, again, the culture of how we're going to actually do transportation funding for the future. So thank you to everybody. Thanks to the future task force, and thank you, hopefully, for your vote and confidence for this task force. So with that, thank you. I will ask the clerk to call the roll.
Councillor Lewis?
C.
Councillor Dirksen?
Do I only get to vote yes once? Yes.
Councillor Gonzalez?
C.
Councillor Stacey?
I see.
Councillor Craddock?
Yes.
Councillor Chase?
C.
Council President Peterson?
Aye. And it passes. Thank you so much. Thank you, Tyler.
Yeah, it works too.
Very much appreciated. All right. We're going to move on to COO Communications.
So mundane. That's okay.
Weather and garbage.
And how they go together.
Or don't. In this case, the good news about it being cold is that it doesn't smell quite so bad. The bad news about it being cold is it can't move up the gorge. I think, you know, we're only moving a tiny fraction. I just wanted to make sure you saw that we are actually sending out a press release and doing a story asking people who self-haul their solid waste to our transfer stations to delay hauling to our transfer station, if possible, until March 1st. It's not because we want them not to bring their waste to us. It's because really the traffic jams that are being caused by folks self-hauling and the backup we have at the stations are pretty severe. So if you could spread the word, we will take customers if they really need to come. It's not that we're turning anybody away, but if it's possible for folks to wait, it would really make things better for everyone if they would. It's so romantic, I know.
But so necessary.
And I think the other thing you learn in times like this is just sort of how we take the functional systems of moving solid waste from the curb to the landfill for granted. I don't know about you, but this is a great reminder of the amount of work and the interdependence we have in a functioning system that we never really notice. Anyway, Councillor Stacey.
If I may, Madam President, there was some discussion about getting a list of some of our partners in the private sector who can accept at least limited amounts of solid waste disposal from self-haulers.
Yeah, I'll make sure that you get that and also that that's included in the news release.
Good. Thank you very much.
The second thing I wanted to draw your attention to is actually a small business open house that we're doing in conjunction with Multnomah County. I think many of you know that in the last few years we've sponsored open houses for very small businesses, including women and minority-owned enterprises, to help them navigate how you go about doing business with public entities. Because I think for a lot of emerging small businesses, the first time you bid on a government contract, a lot of the things that you have to do are a bit of a mystery. I'd love it if you posted this stuff on your social media feeds. But the event will be next week, February 20th, at the Oregon Convention Center from 3 to 6 p.m. So I'll send you all an email with that information, but I'd appreciate it if you would promote it with your networks in all of your many fabulous districts. That's all I have for now.
Awesome. Any councillor communications? You're always first. You're amazing. You're so quick.
She's prepared.
Councillor Lewis?
Did you raise your hand?
I did.
Oh, okay.
Missed it. I just wanted to bring to my colleague's attention a report called Oregon's Child Care Deserts, Mapping Supply by Age Group, put together by Oregon State University in a collaborative that's a statewide look. But in terms of child care, it's really just looking at availability of open slots. It's not looking at quality or cost. And even from just the simple supply and demand side, we have a child care crisis in the state. and we cannot ignore that as we think through the lens of how people are moving around. They are crossing our entire region to drop off and pick up. And we are also seeing that childcare is a significant burden to some of our workforce, and it's forcing people to make different choices about both transportation and housing, areas we're deeply invested in. I've printed off one copy. I'm happy to share it with people to save paper and trees, a value I hold dear, or can send you all the links. But I think it is an important piece of analysis for us and for our lens of equity here.
Awesome. Thank you. Councillor Craddock.
Thank you. Yesterday was the Oregon's Zubon Citizens Oversight Committee. They use that time to review their annual report that they'll be presenting to us in the near future. There probably will be one more report after this one, but they recognize that we're getting close to being done with this work and are carefully putting the report together in thinking about the future. And so I was very impressed with the attention and detail that they put into this. So the report is really, by the time it's finished at the end of the work at the Oregon Zoo, we're going to have a historical perspective of all that was done. And not just the projects themselves, but some of the work that was done prior to the BOB measure being passed and some of the work that staff and the Metro Council at that time did to get the public support for that BOB measure. And then, of course, documenting all that's occurred as the projects have evolved and been constructed and the challenges that they face. And then, of course, they're going to be making some recommendations for the future. So I was very impressed with this and how much time it took. They tediously went through line by line. But I was very pleased that they were willing to do that because it's going to be a really good report. So I think they're coming to us in the spring sometime. I don't know exactly what date, but they definitely are putting a lot of time in this to make sure this is a good report.
Great. Thank you. Councillor Stacey?
Thank you, Madam President. Yesterday afternoon was the first meeting of the Markham Hill Connector Green Ribbon Committee appointed by TriMet. I serve representing the Metro Council and inferentially the Southwest Corridor Project Steering Committee. It's now not a distant memory, but Craig and I finally don't go to those meetings. Craig goes to one and I go to this one for implementation purposes. The objective is to figure out something that the Steering Committee deferred. How do you get from the Gibbs Street Station on Barber Boulevard to OHSU or to the top of Terwilliger Boulevard at a location where thousands of people work and thousands of people visit or receive medical services every day? The task is not self-evident. So the committee, chaired by Fred Miller, received an initial presentation about various options and a prediction about the course of research and analysis that would be conducted over the next several months to try to arrive at a consensus about an appropriate level of investment and an appropriate technology. Should it be a very nice trail? Should it be a series of elevators and trails? Should it be a tunnel, which none of us initially think is a good idea? Should it be a funicular, which looks pretty destructive of the Terwilliger Parkway, which is the other green ribbon being referred to here, the Olmsted vision of a motorway, a pleasant carriage ride that's a visual relief from an otherwise busy city? And should there be an aerial tram, although I don't think anyone other than me has mentioned it so far. We have one that's going right by. It's just a little too high up to reach. Anyway, this is a big dollar item. It's also critical to the success of this corridor in terms of hitting one of the most important transportation destinations and origins on the corridor, and I'll keep you posted.
Awesome.
I have some updates. First and foremost, Councillor Lewis and I on Tuesday went to Park Rose High School to support our Broncos girls varsity team, and we showed up with hands inside. We were in the gym, and that's when we found out the game was canceled.
Oh, gosh.
But they were having a great event that we got to bust in on anyway.
Yes. So the Office of Community Involvement from the City of Portland, or was it the county?
City.
From the city, so we got to engage with some East Portland constituents, so that was kind of nice.
Awesome. Boy, how bad did we see that? I mean, that's our district.
We'll brief you, Shirley. we also had, I was also charged with taking notes at MPAC last night. I have some notes. Mayor Steve Calloway accepted a nomination to be the second vice chair to MPAC as the Washington County representative, so he's taken on that duty. Thank you. Emily Lieb and Jess Larson delivered a fantastic presentation on housing bond implementation, and I think this is really important because a lot of there were some good questions asked around the Metro Work Plan and how that connects with local implementation plans and how we deliver on the outcomes. So there's a lot of communication going right now with our jurisdictions, and it makes me glad that the body of MPAC is serving that purpose to communicate the messages. And also, the Blazers beat the Warriors last night. Go Blazers.
Significantly.
Councilor Dirksen?
Thank you. Just very briefly, as I'd mentioned to Council before, I was invited to make a presentation to the Westside Economic Alliance's Transportation Committee on the Southwest Corridor Plan. And so I did that the other morning, 7:30 in the morning. Why do I agree to these things? And
you have an electric car.
I do. So I made a presentation, brought them up to speed, explained how with the publishing of the DEIS and the selection of the locally preferred alternative, that then that is the responsibility is transitioned from Metro to TriMet, and how we're moving forward there into the preliminary design, identifying some of the actual alignments in a couple of areas, one of which was spoken of by Councillor Stacey. And I think the presentation was well received, and there were some good questions afterwards. And I say that not just because I actually had good answers for all the questions they asked. So that's always a good thing. And but things went well, and I think there's a high level of positive opinion and support for that process out in Washington County.
Updates?
Councilor
Chase?
I'll just share something from I participated in the nominations committee process for the MPAC Executive Committee. Of course, the process for nominating MPAC representatives lies with the Council President's office, and that process is one that is underway, which is great. Mayor Calloway brought up, an interesting point, which is where do we consider positions as citizen representatives, or could we, in other cases, have them not be citizen representatives, but resident representatives, and be more inclusive? And I thought that was
spoken.
Yes. I thought that was an important point that he brought up, and it gave me a pause and a lot of to think about.
You look at it differently.
We have a lot of citizen representatives in a lot of the work we do, and there are, of course, a lot of residents that don't officially qualify as citizens.
The term of where the meaning meant one thing in the origin and now means something different,
exactly.
So we need to update our terminology.
That's great.
Nathan and I have it. We got it.
Awesome. Thank you.
Thank you.
Any other updates?
Carl, I referred to myself as an Oregon native in a public meeting last week, which is an equally anachronistic term, which I apologize for.
Good.
That's a
good call. So on that note, I just wanted to round out our meeting. This board has weighed in when others outside of Metro have not allowed for proper conduct. And there was a small incident within our own house. And I think we can work on doing a better job and getting our advisory committees up to speed on proper code of conduct. It really is about Metro being a welcoming, inclusive environment for everybody, and it doesn't matter whether it's in this chamber with this council or whether it's within any of our advisory committees, such as the task force that we just put together. We need to make sure that when people are speaking, that it is a safe environment for them to speak, no matter who they are. Goal D of our strategic plan to advance racial equity and inclusion specifically calls on our agency to create that safe and welcoming spaces as part of our core work to help leaders and community to be able to fully participate in the work. So I think as we look forward in our work, we're going to have to think about what do codes of conduct mean in every single one of our task forces, and how do we distribute that, and how do we actually educate folks on that and help the, for instance, the chairs on our new task force know how to conduct business during that meeting if any event would come up where somebody was not feeling safe in what they say or how they say it. Because obviously we're there to hear everybody no matter what. So I just want to let you know that we'll be moving forward to think about that. I think the chairs of our advisory committees are aware, and we'll work with them to move forward on some code of conduct and education on that. So I'll look at Nathan to help with that. thank you. And we can think about, happy to, and we can think about how we get that out to everybody who chairs the committees and is on those committees, and what we have maybe even on the wall for them to use to refer to. But I just want to say thank you to everybody for moving that forward, because it's obviously something we don't want to have happen as any kind of incident where folks don't feel like they were actually supported in that meeting when they spoke their truth. So thank you, and I think if there is no further business before the council, our next meeting is February 28th. We do not have a meeting next week. Councillor Lewis writes that down very quickly.
We have a work session. We just don't have a business meeting.
We have a work session. So show up. But thank you, and we are adjourned.
Thank you.
The person really disliked the term gentrification. It somehow implies that
and she doesn't want to refer to it correctly.
The older residents.